this story is true, but I've changed some of the names of people and places. So last month, I told you how I got a date for the senior prom by writing a witty letter to a boy I hardly knew who was very popular, Anthony DeMarco. And he was a freshman at USC. And I told you about how he took me on a pre-prom date so we could get to know each other, to a fraternity and sorority event at which I wore my mother's clothes and sported a very unfortunate self-inflicted haircut. So that date, now I'm moving on to the rest of the story. So at the end of that date, there was no kiss, no romance. We just discussed prom details. And for example, I learned that he owned his own tuxedo. Now, Anthony DeMarco was way out of my league in every way. You know, he looks and wealth and popularity and even academics. But I was very excited to be going to the prom with him because, as I told you last month, I felt that being seen with him would elevate me to the level of the beautiful people. And all right, so after that date, I had about 2 weeks to shop for a dress. And my mother wasn't excited about the dress shopping, so I went alone. But this was good because then I was able to indulge my makeover fantasies. So I tried on many different gowns and told myself I looked gorgeous in all of them. And I imagined the gasps when I entered the prom. Like, people would turn and they would say, "Look, is that Jean? She should be a model." But at the same time, I kept in mind that this dress would have to be very inexpensive and also meet my mother's very strict criteria for modesty. So there would be no cleavage, no spaghetti straps, no halter top, and it couldn't be sheer or clingy or strapless. And eventually she did get involved, and we found something suitably cheap and chaste at Bullock's. And this was the dress. So it was a lavender polyester number, and it had a big ruffle across the front and a big cloth flower right here, and then pleats that tied in back, and then a big ruffle at the bottom. And then we found matching earrings. They were little lavender rosebuds. And so on my first date with Anthony, I had looked like basically his grandmother. And on my second date with Anthony, my prom, I was going to look like a very tall flower girl. But I didn't. I never argued with my mother, and I told myself that childlike was a legitimate fashion choice. Okay, so now the only thing left to do was arrange our seating. Now, I was a misfit, sort of, at St. Maybelline's, which was a very cliquey girls' school. And I sort of flitted from clique to clique. And the people I ate lunch with lately were the very fast Malibu girls, who were known for their cynicism and drug abuse. And they had room at their table. And said that I was invited to sit with them, and so now everything was set. I was so excited. So now we'll skip to the prom. So Anthony looked very handsome in his classic black tuxedo with a white shirt, and you know how I looked, and no one gasped when I entered, but that was okay because I was still so exciting to be there and be seen with Anthony, and this is a hotel ballroom in Burbank, and we find our table, and we're taken aback because the girls and their dates have not bothered to dress up. So the girls are just wearing short dresses they haven't done anything with their hair or makeup, and the guys haven't bothered with tuxedos or even suits, and because like this isn't even a special occasion, and their dates weren't high school boys or even college boys; they were grown men. One of them was a lifeguard, another played in a band, you know. And as we sat down, Anthony whispered to me, "Why are we sitting with these people? Why aren't we sitting over there?" And he pointed to where the pretty girls and the jocks were, you know, whooping it up. And I said, "Well, because those aren't my friends. These are my friends." But they weren't my friends, really. And there wasn't much conversation during dinner because they were extremely high. And after a while, Anthony got bored and he excused himself to go say hello to some old friends, and he didn't invite me to go with him. And shortly after that, the Malibu girls and their dates left all together. I mean, they left the prom. So I was sitting all alone at a table for 10 in my little lavender dress. And I looked around and I spotted Miss Upton, the math teacher, sitting by herself at a table. She was chaperoning. Now, Miss Upton was hotter than most of the girls at my school. And she was wearing a really sexy halter dress, and she had her blonde hair was feathered perfectly. And I went over to her and asked if I could join her. And she very graciously said I could, even though I was probably one of her laziest students. And then I unloaded, and I couldn't have found a more sympathetic person to listen to my tale of woe. She nodded, and when I was done, she said that this sort of thing had happened to her many times because, you know, men are just like that. And as disappointed as I was about how the evening had gone so far, this was very comforting to me, because if a super foxy woman like Miss Upton had man trouble, well, then I was in good company. Well, I'm sitting there with Miss Upton, and I'm looking around for Anthony, and I see him on the dance floor with probably the most beautiful girl in my class. But what am I going to do? I can't cut in. And then he dances with a few more girls. I'm just helpless sitting there. And then one of the junior girls gets up to the mic, and she announces that she's now going to, you know, anoint the prom queen in court. And she clears the dance floor, and I knew I had a good chance at becoming royalty, because this is a girls' school, mind you, and the junior girls are voting for senior girls. It's not a beauty contest, you know. It's more of a popularity contest, and I was a big favorite with the theater geeks in the junior class. So I thought I was pretty sure I was going to at least get princess, you know, one of the princesses, but. But the deal is, the princess is announced, then she comes out on the dance floor and does a slow dance with her prince, and everybody's watching. And I, at this point, did not have a prince. So I'm very nervous, and one name is announced, and everybody cheers and applauds, and then another name, and I'm panicking, where's Anthony? And then it's first runner-up, Jean Helmick. Cheers and applause, which I normally loved. It was my very favorite thing. But I couldn't even enjoy it. I could barely fake a smile. And I was just panic-stricken. And everybody's looking at me, sitting there with Miss Upton. And I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, I see Anthony striding across the dance floor with a big grin on his face. And he holds out his hand in kind of a, may I have this dance, showy gesture. And I put my hand in his, and he leads me onto the dance floor. And I'm so relieved. But that feeling only lasted for a few seconds. And it was replaced by bitter resentment. And I just thought, how dare you abandon me for hours and then take a sudden interest in me when I become a princess? You're such a shallow, superficial jerk. Now, I didn't say any of this. I didn't say any of this. I just thought it, and I tried to convey it with my eyes. And I kind of stiff-armed him, like, so we were like 3-4 feet apart while we slow danced. And so the rest of the evening was awkward. And so there's prom queen, there's photos, and then we leave, and there's after-prom parties. It's just all awkward and no fun at all. And I never tell him what I'm angry about, and he never asks me what I'm angry about. And in the wee hours, he drives me home in his little red Porsche, and we part very coldly. And I don't know if it was the next day or the day after that or the day after that, it occurred to me that that maybe Anthony hadn't behaved so badly, and maybe the superficial jerk was actually me.